Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
James chapter 1, let me read it here, beginning in verse 2 of James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, I like that next phrase, wanting nothing. Passion Bible reads, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things, and then your endurance grows, and then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Woohoo! Well, I'd count it all joy then. Amen. Now, we're looking at this portion of Scripture. You know, receiving from God is a unique exercise. There is a protocol. People say, well, you never know what God will do, when he'll do it. Hey, listen, don't fall for that. That's just religion. We know God will do exactly what he says he will do. Now, he reserves the right to do it the way he wants to. I've always said it like this. He always does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, the way he wants to do it, according to your faith, in order to maximize his glory. Amen. Listen, if you stay with it, God's not going to fail you. The times when you think that he has is the time when you really failed him. Amen. No, if you're hooked up, you know what that means? If you're hooked up, praying in the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, church, move of God, I mean, if this is your life, I guarantee you, those fights of faith are going to be a lot less traumatic. You'll learn to do what? Count them all joy. Amen. Listen, it takes just as much effort to laugh as it does to cry. Amen. With the same effort that you're walking around down and out, you can be walking around full of faith and full of joy. And I heard a guy say this one time. We'd had some powerful meetings in a particular city. And he said, you know, preacher, it's just how you look at it. I said, that's exactly right. It's just how you look at it. Because how you look at it will literally determine how you think about it, how you act about it, and what you're going to do about it. So James here, he says, now look, count it all joy. Everybody say, count it all joy. People say, well, how do you count it joy? Counting it joy is maintaining the composure and character of the culture of faith as you go through any kind of situation or circumstance. That means what? That means as far as you're concerned, you already have the answer and you act like it. As far as you're concerned, you already have the answer and you act like it. As far as you're concerned, you already have the answer and you act like it. So that's most people's problem. We got to get the answer, Pastor. We got to pray through to the answer. We got to get the victory, Pastor. We need to pray. We need to bind the devil, Pastor. We need to defeat the devil. No, you don't. He's already defeated. You're wasting a lot of effort. Now, our family, we've always been the kind of family that laughed at each other. And the greater the pain, the greater the laughter. That's just our family. That's the way we've always been. So, you know, we laugh at ourselves. We laugh at other people. People think, well, those people are just cruel. No, that's just the way we are. And we've learned to do that because we went through enough trauma in life that if you didn't learn to laugh going through that trauma, you'd have gone crazy. I'm serious. We don't share a whole lot of what we went through, but we went through some things that if you weren't laughing going through, you were coming out in a straitjacket. I guarantee you. Amen. So, you know, life, people get, you know, what is that word, Lord? Yeah, people get, they get stiff and stoic. You know what I mean? It's real, you know, kind of stiff and very serious and you know, so I've had several people say that to me. Well, you know, you just don't take things very seriously, do you? Well, no, I don't. Sorry. If that's upsetting to you, I don't take it. I take this seriously. I take what God says seriously. But all this other stuff, no, I really don't. I just really don't take it seriously. You say, why? Because it's going to come to pass. And today's big headline is going to be in tomorrow it's going to be in the bottom of the bird cage. Come on, church. You know, that traumatic headline that so traumatized your life, that's where it ended up, wrapping fish with it or putting it in the bottom of the bird cage. Amen. There's a better report. I said there's a better report. There's a better testimony. Amen. And if you'll live in that report and in that testimony, you're not going to lack for peace. You're not going to lack for comfort. You're not going to lack for joy. And you'll be able to minister that peace and that joy and that comfort to others. Listen, there's a lot of people out there, church, that are really agitated. I'm talking about Christian people that should have a little more peace, that should have a little more comfort. And you know, let me just say it like this. They should have a little more confidence that God is able, that God is able to what? To whatever you need to connect Him to be able to do. He's able to do what? One scripture says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now, when you begin to consider, you know, count it all joy, that's not some extreme idiocy. Amen. But now notice this. It says, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Romans chapter 5. Talks about the same thing. It says, and patience, how's it say it? It talks about putting patience to work or letting it work. Everybody say letting it work. Now, when you begin to count things joy, when you say, you know, I'm just going to count this joy. I'm just, you know, we're going to go through this shouting. We're not going to go through this with our heads down. We're not going to go through this, you know, just dragging. We're going to worship God. We're going to be full of joy. We're going to minister to others. We're going to go through this. It's going to make the devil mad the way we're going to go through this. Now, when you make a decision to do that, that activates that joy. That activates, that puts that joy to work. She, it always names joy in the feminine. It always names patience in the feminine. Let patience have her perfect work. Amen? So she goes to work doing what she does. What? Well, helping you control your emotions. Helping you to what? To wait upon the Lord. Not to be so anxious because it didn't happen yesterday. It literally, listen, if you truly walk in patience, this is something that I've learned in my life. If you truly walk in the true patience of God, it disarms time in your life. Time is no longer a threat to you any longer because you know patience is having her perfect work in you. Amen? Now, with that in mind, oh good, I got some time here. Go to Matthew real quick and then we're going to run over to 2 Chronicles. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew 11. This is a good word, a good scripture here. I like this scripture. I've used this for years. Matthew 11, look at verse 28. It says, come unto me. Come unto me, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now listen. This is talking about, we've talked about, you've got to get God's will in your life. You've got to walk in that will. You've got to find that path of righteousness. We talk about that all the time. Let me tell you, that's an easy walk. You say, Pastor, my walk is so hard. Why? You've made it that way. Amen? If your walk is hard, if you're always wore out, if you find it hard to find any joy in anything, if it seems like all you can do is just you maybe stay one rung above depression, Come on, church. Well, you're not living life like Jesus said you should live it. He said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it in abundance. And so I'm telling you, you just don't know what my life is like. No, I don't, but I'm telling you, it can improve if you will make a decision to walk in the reality of this word and make a decision not to let that stuff overtake you and train you to be its slave. Because that's what the enemy does. He uses your feelings, your emotions, and your thought. And every little negative thing that's ever happened in your life that you've never really walked through the process of forgiving and forgetting and getting that out of you, the devil will just use that to keep you like a puppet on a string. And he knows just how to get your goat. You know what I mean? He knows how to scratch you the wrong way, but no matter what that is. And he'll set you up and set you up and he'll set you up. And if you fall into that trap over and over and over, every time you fall into that trap, you fall and get up weaker. Man, what a terrible way to live. But that can break in your life. It's up to you. It's your choice. You say, well, how do I do that? First of all, you have to count it all joy. Because you got to, notice what it says. Count it all joy when you what? Fall. Listen, if you're just walking along, you don't plan a fall. So, I'm going to get this pole. I'm just going to fall. You don't plan a fall. Most people's problem when it comes to temptation. So, first of all, what is temptation? Well, it's not just the temptation to sin. It's the temptation to be sick, the temptation to be poor, the temptation to be depressed, the temptation to be overwhelmed, the temptation to panic. Amen? Then all the temptation that the world brings that goes against what the Word of God says we are, what we can do and what we have, that is a temptation. You must resist that. If you don't resist that, it will overwhelm you. You say, well, how do I do that? You start with joy. That means you already know you have the answer. That means you already know you have a God that has broken through for you, and that if you'll just stay with it and believe His Word, you're going to have the answer you need. Amen? In the meantime, live for Him, walk with Him. Why? It's easy. It's light. He yokes you to Himself. If you are not yoked to Jesus, what are you yoked to? You know what the word yoke means? It's an implement, a farm implement they used to use to put on oxen in order to, they could yoke as many as 4 to 6 oxen together. But what they did is they would take some of these older, wiser oxen, and I mean stronger, and put these young ones that are always kicking against the yoke, and those big old oxen would just drag them around all day long until finally they figured out, I better get up and walk with this guy. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, church, a lot of people yoke themselves to things that are not God. Let me say that again. If it's not easy, if it's not light, I remember many times when I was in Bible school, Pastor John Osteen would say, he said, everything that you do in the kingdom, there's resistance. There's things that happen. There's things that, you've got to fight the devil. People disappoint you. Everything. He says, but at the end of the day, if what you're doing doesn't give you joy, if it doesn't give you peace, if you're not just delighted to get up the next morning and be who you're supposed to be and do it, then he says, you better do something to change your life. Because that's not the plan of God. That is not the plan of God. For you to be constantly attacked, constantly depressed, constantly beat up, constantly beat on, that's not the will of God. Amen? Now, real quick. Oh, let me read this in the Passion. I had my Passion. I was looking at that other scripture. I thought, let me look at this one. This one is cool. It says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life. For I am your oasis. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to read that again. For I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways. And you'll discover that I'm gentle and humble and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be a pleasure and easy to bear. What you bearing? Amen? I mean, you choose a hard path, walk a hard walk. Like the old preachers, you say, you make your bed hard, you'll lay in it. Amen? Now, go if you will. Go all the way to 2 Chronicles. This is a good story here. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Let me just read here for a moment. So it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude, everybody say a great multitude, against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hezron Tamar, which is in Gadi. Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Everybody say, seek the Lord. Now listen, these people are doing the right thing. They're identifying a problem, a threat, before it gets there. And they're turning to God because they know in themselves they're not able to do anything about it. Amen? It says that Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah. Now I like this. In the house of the Lord before the new court and said, everybody say and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, until the UN took over? Oh, I'm sorry, forever. Might want to remember that. And they dwelt therein and have built thee sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now, first of all, he's the leader. He's the king. And instead of being one of the wicked kings, he is one of the better kings. So he postures himself correctly in the calamity of life. I mean, he realizes this is it. This is an issue. Now listen, counting things joy isn't being a fool. You know, when you see some great calamity or some great tragedy, you just kind of laugh in the face. No, you've got to rise up and fight those things in faith. But the joy that we're talking about is the ability to keep your demeanor on a level based on the content and the health of your spirit man. So that you're not letting the circumstance be the director of your life. Now get this. There are two directors looking at your life and saying this. Action. How will they do that thing? Action. And so every day your life is what? An act, an action based on a director of righteousness in your life or a director of unrighteousness in your life. And a lot of people say, well, it's not the unrighteous. No, that's where you get into the complaining and the offense and all that kind of stuff. It's just manipulation. You know, action. But then you got the Holy Ghost over here doing the same thing. Now, Jehoshaphat, he goes to God and says, you're God, and you can do anything. That's what he's saying. And you've done all this for us. But not only that, you're our God. And we're in a crisis. And you said, if we come to this place and we pray and we cry out to you, you're going to hear us. Now, he had that much faith based on a covenant a lot less strong than ours. And this is an army of maybe 1 million people that had come together and come to rape and pillage Jerusalem just as they had been doing. People that have studied this, as they had been doing for up to 4 years, they'd been out doing this. That's why they were so loaded with jewels and with cattle and with all kinds of spoil. Because they'd been out on basically a crusade for almost 4 years, just everything they could get, everything they could grab. Now here they come to Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem had stuff they wanted. Amen. He said, now behold the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when we came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they have rewarded us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. He had enough sense to say, now God, this is all your stuff. You know, the Jerusalem is the city of God. This is your stuff, God. You put us here, God. You are our God. Now here comes the threat. Amen. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh up against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and wives and children. And upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mahatna, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came, I love it, the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye of Judah, hearken ye all of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. First thing God always does is deal with fear. You say, why? Because people can't operate in fear and faith at the same time. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Now notice this. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Now you got to hear that with the right ear. That's not your invitation to go home and sit on the couch. It almost would sound like, well, you know, God's got this. Just, you know, everything's going to be fine. Just go home and wait, and we'll let you know when it's over. That's not how it works. But now notice what he said. Notice what he said. I like that. The battle is not yours, but God's. But then automatically the next verse, what's he start doing? He starts instructing them. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the brook, just before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I thought he just said the battle was his. He did. And that's why he's instructing them to act accordingly. The battle is mine. I've got this. Did you know that's what Jesus said when he rose from the dead on that Easter morning and he came out of that tomb? He said, I got this. This death, hell, and the grave thing, I got this. This devil thing, I got this. This faith thing, I got this. This Holy Ghost thing, I got this. I got this. I got this. He's got it. He's got the victory. It's your victory. I said, thanks be unto God that causes us just on Thursday afternoons to triumph in Christ. No, to always. Everybody say always. You know the Greek for always? Always. Pretty easy, amen. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them, the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You know what he's saying? It's really simple. He says, believe God because he said it, and believe the preachers because they're telling you what God said. I mean, that's pretty easy. I mean, I don't stray from what God said. This is what God said. This is what God says. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Just hook yourself to Jesus. Just get yoked up to him. Just get yoked up to him. No, we started out in ministry begging God for meetings. Lord, we need a meeting. One time we went, I think, from about what was it, September through the end of the year with no meetings. God just took royal care of us. Another time he told us not to take meetings from January till May one time. He said, don't take any meetings. We were too busy. But we started out, Lord, give us meetings. Lord, putting our faith out there. Thank you for meetings. Binding the devil. Next thing you know, we got no more meetings. We know what to do with. And we're kind of, Lord, help us. We got all these meetings. You know, I mean, God is good. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. You got to stay with it in faith. And you've got to believe God because he said it and he cannot lie. It's not that he will not lie. He cannot lie. You say, why not? Because he is God. If he says it, it's the truth. And his truth alters every other reality. Oh, you should have shouted on that one. You say, well, you may have a bad reality right now. You need alter. His truth alters every bad reality. Man, that'll make a good message. I'm going to have to study that one out. Amen. Now notice. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing, oh, I like that, and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and against Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. What a bloodbath! So these two armies, I don't know, maybe the two toughest kids on the block or something. I don't know, but a fight started. So they were in. They were in. They were with the people from Mount Seir. They were with them, Moab. Now, you know who Moab and Ammon are, don't you? And how they came about. They were cursed. Amen. So you've got to understand, these people, they're Moab and Ammon and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. So they, Moab and Ammon, turn on Mount Seir, on those inhabitants, and begin to slay them. And they slaughter them all. And in that bloodlust, they just, once they got all them dead, they just turned on each other. Could you imagine being the last guy? What a mess. What a victory. I said, what a victory. My goodness. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance, in abundance, in abundance, in abundance, both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Maybe we believe a little too small. But the principle you've got to grasp is that that attitude of victory was established before there was any victory. That attitude of dominance and authority was established before there was any dominance or authority released. That's why you've got to have faith in God. And when you use the name of Jesus, if you're accessing the Father, bless God, you're in the throne room. If you're speaking to the devil or demon powers, honey, they're bowing their knee. They're running in stark terror. If you're resisting a righteous woman, a righteous man, resisting the devil in the right posture according to the Word of God, you've got to see the devil running in stark terror from you. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture in Matthew 4, 11, when Jesus was tempted of the devil. Now, I tell you, that 40 days and 40 nights was no picnic out in the wilderness. Because I guarantee you every demon force, the Bible said he was tempted like every man is tempted, but yet without sin. He never yielded to the temptation. But he came out, he was weak. And his greatest fleshly weakness would have been his digestion, his food. They say that after 72 hours, your appetite leaves and returns right at the point of starvation, which is usually about 40 days. So right at the point of starvation, his body's telling him, you got to have some food. The natural was saying, if something doesn't happen, you know, you're not going to make it. But what did he do? He stood on the word of God. Same thing for all the other temptations that the enemy brought. But that verse 11 says this, then the devil leaveth. Church, you've got to have a concept of the devil leaving you alone. If you get up day after day after day and you're in some kind of fight, tussling match, knockdown, drag out with the devil, listen, that should not be so. God's called you to live in peace. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get attacked. Let me say that again. That doesn't mean you don't get attacked. I guarantee you there's some attacks of the devil that can be severe, that can be traumatic, amen, that can carry all of the pain and panic and everything else that the devil wants it to. But church, you don't have to succumb to that. You don't have to submit to that. You're not like people in that world system that have no hope, no answer whatsoever. You have a blessed hope. What did we teach on Sunday? You have an eternal hope. What is the guarantee of that eternal hope? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who tasted death for every man and woman. Amen. See, that's I think many times we get weary in resistance because you can resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil. And then when he comes and lies to you and says this, well, it's not working. You ought to figure out that's a lie. If the devil's telling you something's not working, if the devil's tempting you to abandon something, if the devil's saying give up on prayer, give up on tithing, give up on faith, yeah, it doesn't work, all those people are crazy. If he's doing that, you ought to ask yourself why. Why is he doing that? Most people have never lived long enough, listen to this, they've never lived long enough with the devil on defensive in their life. Because if you ever live a week when the devil's on defense, you'll never settle for anything less. Most people, the devil keeps them on defense. They're always fighting a backup, trying to recovery fight. No, press into what God's given you in Christ. Press into the reality of the new birth. Press into healing. Press into prosperity. Resist the devil. And those points of resistance always are the place in which you have a need. Amen. Kind of like, it's not the will of God to bless you with a lump sum of money so that you can take care of a current problem. It's the will of God to teach you how to trust Him so you can take care of every problem. Amen. When you learn how that operates and how that works, you'll understand that resistance of the enemy is you moving forward. You ever watch? I know sometimes you can learn a lot by just paying attention. So I watched a lot of old war movies, stuff like that, you know, and they, you know, there was a real transition between the warfare of when people used to just line up and murder each other. They finally dug holes and started, you know, getting in trenches. Military combat team, they're so specialized and so aggressive. And you see it with law enforcement. You watch cop shows or you watch some of the modern war movies, you notice these special ops, they're always doing what? Moving forward. They're always moving forward. And if they ever move back and have to retake something, they do it by moving back so they can move forward on the outside. You say, what do you mean? They never take a defensive posture because they know that's not what they're trained to do. They're trained to take ground. They're not called to defend ground. Ooh, that's a good word. You're not called to defend ground. You're called to take ground. That's what God, and that I've said this for years in teaching on faith. Faith works best on offense. Faith works best possessing. You say, what do you mean? Possessing healing. Possessing prosperity, going after it instead of recovering because you need it. That's why it's worth the effort to always have a strong confession of faith over every area of your life. To be able to speak the word into any situation that you face. I mean, right then and there when it happens. not to have to thumb through the Bible and find scriptures. Amen? I mean, literally, with that word in you, is in you, your memory, your emotions, everything. I mean, it's so tied to everything in your life where the fabric of all of that is literally ingrained with the Word of God. I'd like to say it like this. In the material realm, where everything you have in the material realm has a testimony to it. Somebody could not touch any point of your life without getting a testimony of how God did that, got you that, got that to you, got that through you, whatever it was. There's going to be, you know, so like this chair right here, you know, let me tell you how this chair got here. We believed God for it. Yeah. When we didn't have it, we said we would. Come on, church. Yeah. Tell me how that carpet got here. Same way. We believed God for it. And when we lost it, we believed God to get it back and got it back. Everything in the walk of faith, you should be able to put your finger on it and say, this is what God has done, right? Let me tell you about how God has done this. Let me tell you about how God has done that. Let me tell you about how God... I mean, that's what the testimony that overcomes connected with the blood of the Lamb. It's not the testimony of all the junk brought you out of. It's the testimony of what God has brought you into connected with the blood of the Lamb, which not even Satan can defeat. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of your testimony. What is your testimony? I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things are new for me. He that knew no sin was made sin on my behalf. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the earth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where most people say, yeah, but. Billy goat religion. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Look, you can accelerate your way through anything you're going through by changing you. You say, why? Any hesitancy in receiving from God is not God. It's you. Period. Amen? There's no problem on the receiving end. But see, people want to, all this religion and philosophy and psychology running through the mind and the yeah buts and the what ifs and grandma did and mama didn't and all. See? See what it'll do to you? Make your brain what they call like cement. Thoroughly mixed, permanently set. So you've got to go back to where we started. What? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. You got to count it all joy. You got to lift your hands and thank God. You can say, Father, I trust you. I love you. Thank you for the faith and the revelation knowledge that you've given me. Hallelujah. And you begin to proclaim and declare those promises over your life. I'll close with this. My time's up. The atmosphere of any place you go, whether you're driving in your car, if you sit at a little cubicle at a desk at your job or as a student or whatever you do, you set the atmosphere. You do it. And the thing is other people set their atmospheres too. And you can walk into an atmosphere where not even any of the behavior of that place is going on in front of you, but you can tell, there's something in here. You ever been in a place like that? Amen. So think about the atmosphere you live in. This atmosphere we have right here is. I'm sure there are other elements of the atmosphere that are necessary for life, but the main one's oxygen. A slow depletion of oxygen out of this room. You know what it'd do? It'd eventually kill all of us. But it'd do it slow, and it'd do it lethargically. You just get a little tired. And a little too tired. And even people that would be literally oxygen deprived will not even get up and walk out the door in order to get a breath of oxygen in their lungs. It debilitates them that much. So that's what sin and unbelief does to the believer. Because the atmosphere that faith thrives in is the atmosphere of righteousness. Man, I learned that when I used to travel. And if I'd been in some what I used to call hot meetings, and I'd come tooling into a hotel room, and I'd walk in, I'd go, whoa. And I'd turn around and walk out. I had a little cassette player that I used to take. And what were the Integrity music tapes, and then I had a ton of other tapes I listened to. And I'd go in there. Sometimes if the pastor just dropped me off or something, I'd just turn it on, and I'd go in there, and I'd leave. I'd go sit in the lobby for 30 minutes until enough of that played where I knew the atmosphere was changed in there. Amen. But see, that righteous atmosphere in your life, your faith, it just breathes. Man, it runs at the devil, keeps the devil on the run, keeps you full of joy, keeps you full of expectancy, and helps you to navigate the insanity that's going on right now. Amen. I never heard so much craziness as people talking about this. How many eclipses do you think the earth has had? Well, you'd think we'd never had one. Amen. I mean, like, this is the first one, and the Martians are going to come and eat every one of us, you know. Count it all joy. I said, count it all joy. I said, count it all joy. Well, why don't you stand on your feet? Count it all joy for a moment before we leave. Amen. Lift your hands up. Just begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, you've come unto me this night. You've come unto me with worship in your heart, with praise in your mouth. You've come unto the Word, listened, sat attentively. So why not drink? Just why not drink? For it's here. So lift your hands up in the presence of God and declare in this atmosphere that I am more than a conqueror, that greater is He that's in me, that I can do all things. And you shall reset the atmosphere of your heart and cause that which is rich and righteous from the Word to be established in you as you worship and praise and as I demonstrate my victory in you, for you, and through you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We do. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, I feel better than I did. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't go by feelings. Praise God. Well, don't forget, tomorrow night we're going to start School of the Spirit. You can come pray with us. Come sit in one class and pray, or come pray and sit in a class, or just come and pray, whatever you want to do. But we're doing this. Listen, one thing that kept coming up in my spirit was, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Then that even more so part just started coming alive in me. Secondly, there's a great need in the church for people to understand how to live and walk by the Spirit. The Bible says if we'll walk by the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. So there's a constant necessity in believers for exposure. You need to be exposed to the Word of God over and over and over. And a lot of things we'll preach will be over and over. But we're trusting God for not just something to say, but the Spirit of God moving in these meetings too and moving among us. So we'll just trust God that hallelujah, there'll be some breakthroughs and people will learn some things about living for God in the Spirit. Amen? Because the devil's a mean devil. And he does things very insidiously. And you've got to be wise. You've got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But here's the thing. In these last days, the church, the Bible says of the church, this is the place of protection against deception. Where were we yesterday or day before? We're going somewhere. Remember, we heard that news report and started laughing so hard because it was like three lies in a row. Boom, boom, boom. You say, well, that's just your opinion. No, they told three. Just, you know, it's not light, it's dark. That's not wet, it's dry. And I mean, we were like, what in the world is this, you know? It was amazing. It was just amazing. But the good news is, if you continue in His Word, you're His disciples indeed. You will know the truth that you know, and you will walk in freedom because of that. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, we do leave walking in faith and love towards you, thanking you, Lord God. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. And we do, Lord. We do. We make those adjustments in our heart. Hallelujah. We count it all joy, knowing, Father, knowing the effectual, fervent prayers of righteous men and women make great power available, dynamic in its working. Devil, you're on the run, and you stay on the run in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for different ones here in this meeting tonight, that now, beginning tonight, the devil leaveth and angels come and minister unto them tonight in their dreams. Let them sleep and sleep sweetly and deeply. Let them rise in the morning with a great expectancy. Let worship be in their mouth. Let praise be in their heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your protection, your safety. Lord, all of us, as we travel the airways, highways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation, Lord, we know how precarious these highways can be, and we thank you that your hand of protection is upon us. Father, we thank you that everyone that works in the workplace, our contractors, our teachers, our everyone, we thank you, Heavenly Father, is protected and kept. No evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge. 1,000 can fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. Only with our eyes we behold and see the reward of the wicked. We pray over our schools, our students. We say no to the devil. Any strategy, any plan, any conspiracy or trap, we bind in the name of Jesus and declare it shall come to light before it comes into manifestation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for stirring our hearts. For every day we run across people that need you, Lord Jesus. They need encouragement. They need your love. They need your compassion. And they need the answers only you can produce. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that we are laborers in the harvest. As we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.